Good morning. Christmas is so much more than beautiful presents, shiny tinsel, festive wrapping paper, glittering ribbon, delicious candy, and great food. The most beautiful present and greatest gift of all was the gift of salvation when our loving Father God gave to us his precious Son, Jesus Christ, as the gift of supreme agape love and a gift of light to this world. Jesus is the light, our light that shines for us, through us, and in us. If we believe and have faith and trust in Jesus, we have eternal life. Knowing Christ is more than a holiday. The true spirit of Christmas is having the spirit of Jesus living within you all year long and reflecting the image of Jesus daily. May we all hunger and thirst for our living Savior, daily to fill us with him, and may we all desire to know Jesus more. Jesus truly is the greatest gift of all. He gave up everything for you and for me. We are his precious treasure that he holds dearly in his loving arms. May the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Jesus loves you, and Merry Christmas.
The shepherds gaze in wonder, while angel voices sing. This night of nights come and brought to us a long-awaited King. Earth is filled with gladness, and yet the heavens weep, for heaven's eyes can see he who was born to die for me. Tear in your eyes, Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, you must know you were born to die. Broken God's heart, for the future he could see, yet he formed your hands and feet, knowing one day they'd be nailed to that tree. Eternal life, Jesus, my sweet, precious Jesus, 'cause for me you were born to.
Message. Thank you. Am I on? Testing. 1, 2. This could turn on. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Says it's on. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing. I think it says it's on. It says it's on. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. I'm not on. Am I on now? Looks like it's on. Looks like it's on. That's what I thought. Okay. How about now? Nothing? Check this one for a second. Just for a second. Okay. I guess I'll use this one for a moment. If I get this one on. Okay. Try now? Okay, am I on now? Yeah, there we go. Good morning, Merry Christmas. Hope you had a wonderful week and hope you didn't eat too much. How many ate too much? Go ahead and raise your hand, okay. It's good to be here in the family of God, and we are here to worship our God and our Savior today, and I don't know, it's just great to be in the family of God, and just want to remind you about the communion this next Friday night. You see it in your announcements, but we're going to bring in the new year on Christmas Day, candlelight communion. It's going to be right here, and it's New Year's. What did I say? New Year's. It's going to be New Year's Day, but anyway, that's going to be coming up this Friday. I hope you'll be here to bring in the new year. And I think we'll enjoy that together. And it's nothing like bringing in the new year with Jesus in a special way. So I hope you'll be here. I just want to mention a couple of things, kind of hard to mention, but some of you haven't heard, but Cal Luther passed away this week. So be praying for Joan and the family. They're going through a tough week. It's a tough Christmas, isn't it? Lose the people we love. And also, just want to pray for Bill Kennel. Some of you know him, and Donna there, and he's in the hospital. It doesn't look good for him, so be praying for Bill. Also want to pray for Zach Irwin, and some of you have been hearing about Zach. He's still in life support, and 26, 27 years old, so be praying for those people, part of our church family. It's kind of a hard Christmas when you're going through tough life, things like that in your life. It is hard to believe that it is almost 2010. This is the last Sabbath of 2009. Is that unbelievable? Time is going by so fast. It seems like just yesterday everybody's talking about Y2K, and my wife was pregnant with Kiana, and now Kiana's almost 10 years old. I mean, where does time go? Time is flying by so quickly, but I got to tell you, I'm excited about 2010 because I believe God's going to do some special things here in our church this next year. And I know God's going to do some special things in my life, and I'm praying He's going to do something special in your life. I am praying for God's Spirit to be poured out on this church this next year. I'm praying that God will pour out His Spirit on us, and He'll bring revival into our lives. That God will deal with these cold, apathetic, lukewarm hearts, and that God will use us powerfully this next year. I'm praying that God will grow us, that our walk with Jesus will be closer this year, and that we're going to see some amazing things happen. I'm praying for those things. Are you praying for that? You want a powerful new year? I believe God wants to do it for each one of us here. I cannot believe here we are, almost 2010. But I'm just looking forward to what God is going to do. You notice the manger. Notice we did not take up an offering that we began. Last Sabbath we talked about we're going to take about a special offering at the end of our message today to help with our expenses of our church. And so I know you've been thinking about that, praying about that, but at the end of our message, we're going to come forward and bring our offerings, our financial gifts, to the manger, symbolizing, of course, Jesus. And I hope you'll be thinking about that. And it's really a symbolic way of saying we're going to bring our lives, not just our financial gifts, but we're going to bring our lives, everything we're going to bring to Jesus. So be thinking about that as we go through the message today. The story of Jesus' birth and his details that surround his life and his birth are just amazing. The more you get into the story of the birth of Jesus and all the details of the story, it's just really amazing, isn't it? The drama of the story is compelling. And the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus cannot hold a candle to the true story of Christmas. I mean, think about it. A young unmarried girl who's about to give birth to a child who is destined to be the one that would give freedom to this world and save the whole entire world. A man so in love with his betrothed and so confident in God's faithfulness that he defies all the social customs and marries her anyway. A band of mystics we call wise men spend years following a star, believing it's going to bring them to a new king. A greedy, insecure ruler commits murderous atrocities in a village to protect his throne. A gang of men and maybe teenage boys are working the night shift, witnessing extraterrestrial worship service. A little baby boy, baby is born in a stable who's going to change the course of history. The story of the birth of Jesus is absolutely amazing. And I hope this week that you've spent a little extra time thanking God for the most incredible gift that's ever been given to us, the gift of Jesus. I want to pray. Lord God, as we open your word, I pray, Father, that you will come again and you will enter into this place, Father. We are all so blessed already through the music. But Lord, through your word, may you speak to our hearts today. We're open to you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning is inspired by a conversation I had with somebody out in the lobby last Sabbath after church. After this conversation, I could not stop thinking about what we talked about and what happened to this member of our church. Something amazing happened. And through that, I couldn't stop thinking about it. God inspired this message that you're going to hear today. And by the way, it's also because of that conversation, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you at the end of this message for the new year. Are you ready? And I'll tell you what, if you take this challenge, I will guarantee that it's going to change your life. It will change your life. This year will be different. This year will be the best year for you if you'll take the challenge at the end. It comes from a verse. This is where God led me this week in Luke 2, verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in a swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, for there was no what? No room for them in the inn. I look at this verse, and there's probably no verse in the entire gospel narratives that so clearly, almost prophetically describes not just Jesus' birth, but his entire life and ministry. There was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for Jesus. There was no room. In John 1, it says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Later it says, the light shone in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. There was no room for Jesus. Jesus' life began being crowded out. There was no vacancy signs going up. There was no room for Jesus. And after 2,000 years, this world hasn't changed a whole lot because I see a society where there's no room, there is no place for Jesus. There is no vacancy in our lives. And I wonder as I read this verse, you know, as I look at this verse, there's no room in the end for them. I know we kind of like to point a finger out there, you know, out there with all the pagans and all the lost people. But I kind of wonder if this verse is more for us sitting here today than the church of God. Is there really room? And I want to raise a question. Is there room in your life, in your busy life for Jesus? Do we really give Jesus time that he deserves to build an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Or have we hung up the sign? No vacancy. Not here. There is no room. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I think this inn has become famous. Not for what it did, but what it didn't do. It's becoming a continuing symbol, almost like an eternal parable of the human heart. Why is life so much like Bethlehem's inn? Why are we so busy in our lives that we have no room for Jesus? Why is it that we always give Jesus the leftovers in our lives? Why is there no room in our lives? See, I want 2010 to be different. And there's good news. This year can be the best year of your life. You can draw into God's presence in a way you've never known before. And I'm going to challenge you on this, that it's not about coming to church and warming up a pew once in a while or once a week. This is about experience with the living God, that we experience him every day of our lives. And God wants this week, this year, to be different than any year. He wants you to grow. You know, I look at this verse and I find some hints of why there's no room in the inn. The first reason is probably the most important, it affects all of the reasons, is this right here. The inn was already inhabited. It was already full, filled up, and occupied. The most obvious reason why there's no room in the inn was simply that the rooms were already occupied. Every space was already filled. Now, I'm sure the innkeeper did not have any ill towards his holy family. This man was just doing his job. He's running a business. It was first come, first serve. Others had just simply got there first, and there was no room left. See, I really don't think that we mean to put other things first. I really don't think that in our lives that we say, you know, Jesus, I'm just going to give you the back burner in my life. I don't think we really say it like that. It just kind of happens in our busy lives. It's the little excuses we make, the little decisions that we make. Just a little decision here, a little excuse there, and pretty soon, Jesus is taking the leftovers. He's out in the stable of our lives. See, but I believe most of us here want a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, don't we? I mean, do you want it? But we simply get filled up. We fill up the space with other guests, other things, other matters that we say are more pressing, more important than Jesus. And so we make excuses, and we rationalize, and we justify this lack of room that we have. And so I hear it all the time. I am so busy, I don't have time for God's word. I don't have time for him. You know, I got a job, and I'm paying the bills, and I got kids, and I got school, and I have social engagements, and I got hobbies, and I got sports I like, and I have all this stuff going on in my life. I just don't have time. My plate is full. And by the way, I go to church once in a while. So I want you to think about this last year. Think about your last year for a moment. How'd you do with Jesus? Did you give him time this last year? Were you too busy? Were you too occupied with everything else you didn't have time? I heard a poem, it was spoken by the innkeeper. It says, I only did what you have done 1,000 times or more. When Joseph came to Bethlehem and knocked upon my door, I did not turn the Christ away or leave him there bereft. Like you, I only gave him whatever I had left. The poem kind of hits home, doesn't it? Too many times we give Jesus the leftovers when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We allow everything else to become a priority. And the enemy has done a pretty good job, hasn't he? By drowning out Jesus with this world and all this stuff going on. Well, folks, today I'm not talking about the necessities of life. Yeah, we got to pay the bills, we got jobs, we got kids, we got all those responsibilities. I'm talking about all the other stuff that the devil keeps bringing in our lives until we don't have any time, we don't have any room left for Christ. I mean, think about TV, DVDs, and what is it, radio, and iPods, and texting, and now Facebook, and everything. You can spend your whole day on the internet today, and no time with Christ. So every day I ask myself the question, I make a decision. Will I give time to Jesus? Will I make room for him in my busy life? Life becomes so filled up with everything else, I got to make a decision. I got to make a choice. See, if you fill up your life with everything else, the ramifications of those choices affect everything else in your spiritual life. Everything. And so what happens when we get filled up with everything else? First of all, we become insensitive to God's voice. Amen? You're so busy. You got so much stuff going. You cannot hear his voice anymore. You become unaware of God's leading in your life. You become ignorant of significant moments, opportunities to do ministry, to love people, and so on. We are just occupied. And we're not listening. And just think about it. If the innkeeper just had known the identity, if he just had known who it was, how different it would have been. It looked like just an ordinary family, a baby. He did not recognize the identity of who it was. He didn't know it was the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one that was come and was going to split history from B.C. to A.D. He didn't understand. But see, if he had known who it was, if he knew who it was that was knocking at the door that wanted to come in, I'm sure it would have been different. I'm sure he would have found some room. If need be, he would have given him his own bed, don't you think? He would have been the honored guest if he just knew who it was, but he missed this incredible opportunity because he was out of tune. He was occupied. He was busy. In the fall of 1775, the manager of the Baltimore's largest hotel refused lodging to a man that was dressed like a farmer. The manager thought that his lowly appearance would discredit his hotel, so he wouldn't let him stay there. The man headed down to another motel, found a room, and just so happens, the manager found out, it just happens to be, it was Thomas Jefferson, the Vice President of the United States. Of course, the manager quickly sent a message down there to Thomas Jefferson and says, I'm really sorry, why don't you come back? I got a place for you now. Thomas Jefferson replied as he sent a message back to him, tell him I have already engaged a room. I value his good intentions highly, but if he has no place for a dirty American farmer, he has none for the Vice President of the United States. If the innkeeper had been more in tune, more sensitive, how different it would have been. If he was like Simeon in the temple or Anna the prophetess, waiting every day, daily, looking for the Savior, the Messiah to come, how different it might have been. And so often our lives get so full that we just can't hear anymore the voice of God. And we miss all these blessings and all these opportunities because we are just out of tune. We're just filled up with everything else. And we forget that there is someone infinitely more important than the President of the United States that wants to come and have an intimate relationship with us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing to think about? And every day he comes knocking at your door's heart. Will you let me in? Let me into your life. Don't be so filled up with everything else you don't have time for me. And so because we are so preoccupied with everything else, we become insensitive to his voice. Number two, we become indifferent or apathetic. Do you ever feel apathetic towards the things of God? See, when you're not close to God, you're not spending time with God, you become apathetic. You become indifferent in your walk with Jesus. You don't care about the things that God cares about. You're not involved in mission. You don't care about serving and loving people. You don't care about sharing Jesus because you're just apathetic now. You're not spending time with God. You don't know him. When there's no time for Jesus and life is filled up with everything else, it leads us to be insensitive to God's voice. We become indifferent and apathetic. Bottom line, we just don't care about what God cares about. And so I want to ask you, think about your life right now. You know, we're just coming to the end of this year. Think about your life. Are you apathetic? Are you indifferent to the things of God? At the end of this message, I'm going to challenge you that's going to change all that. And I hope you'll take it serious when we get to the end because it will radically change everything in your life. Number three, when you get so filled up with everything else, it leads to us feeling God is interfering in our life. Kind of this disobedience that we have. You know, many people in Christ's days look to him, listen to him, and they finally figure out what Christ was all about, his message, what he was demanding, what he wanted from them, what he really wanted from them. And they just curtly said to him, no, thank you, that's not what I want. I have no place for you in my life. They wanted to live their own life, make their own choices, do what they wanted to do. See, when you get close to Jesus Christ, you begin to see how much unlike Jesus we really are. We begin to see how unholy our lives really are. When you get close to Christ, you begin to see how much Christ wants from us. The late David Roberts said that if he could have anticipated Bethlehem, his first temptation would have been to cry out, O gentle Son of God, don't come here. Come into such a world. There is no place for you. There is no place for someone who cares nothing for money, prestige, or power. You don't fit in here. It would destroy you. This kind of world will crush you and break your heart. Don't come. You don't belong. But David went on to say, on second thought, as the years roll by, we can't get rid of the haunting realization that Christ is the one who really belongs. We are the misfits whose ugly passions and unholy lives are out of touch with reality. We are the strange ones with distorted images of what humanity was meant to be. Bottom line, because we don't have Christ in our life, we have no room for Jesus, there is no power in our life. So when we are filled up with everything else, we become insensitive. God's voice is leading our life. We become indifferent and apathetic to the things of God. We don't care about the things of God. And it leads us to a feeling of that we don't want God interfering in our life and almost this disobedience to God. And number four, we become incapable of handling the difficulties of life very well. This is something I've noticed over and over again in my ministry and my life. When we're not close to Jesus Christ, when we don't have room for Jesus in our life, when hard things come, and they always do come, difficult things of life come, we can't handle it. We don't do very well. But when I see people that are walking with Jesus and they have a strong faith in Christ, it's amazing how they can handle the difficult things in their life when they're hanging on tightly to Christ. Because life is tough sometimes, and I don't know what you're going through right now in your life. Maybe you had a really tough Christmas. Maybe there's not a lot of joy in your life right now. But I want you to know, when you turn to Christ and you spend time with Christ and you let Him into your life, He will come in and He will help you through those difficult times in your life. Time does more than just pass, my friends. Did you know that? Time does more than just pass. It narrows down our chances for certain things. The insistent knocking on the door comes and then it's gone. And I wish that we could catch the urgent note and quit fooling ourselves with a thought that we can go on year after year in our busy lives and then at one moment of our own choosing find room for Christ. Not true? So we go on. Here's this opportunity for choices, good choices to bring Christ in your life. But you make these little choices and pretty soon the choices are gone. You don't even have the opportunity and it passed you by. Folks, do you realize we will never find room? We must make room. Amen? You got to make room for Jesus. So instead of being occupied with everything else, let's make it a habit to fill our lives up with Jesus every day. Let's get in tune and not so be insensitive to the nudges, appointments, and the divine opportunities that God has put in our paths. Let's spend some time with Jesus instead of being indifferent and apathetic. Let's catch some fire and let's be involved in ministry. Let's spend some time with Jesus and let Him come into our lives so we have the strength and desire to obey and to follow Christ. Let's let Jesus come in so when the difficulties come, we can handle it and we can handle it well. I want to challenge you today. Pastor Scott kind of got ahead of me on that challenge, but it's kind of, it's good. But I want to challenge you. It's a challenge I really hope that you'll take serious. It is really a simple challenge. It really is. And what I call it the New Testament challenge. And what this New Testament challenge is, and I got to tell you, I know this would change your life. It's very simple. You know what it is? It's just reading through the New Testament in 63 days. Next Sabbath, we're going to have kind of a reading plan for you. But you know what that is? It's about 20 minutes, according to who you are, about 20 minutes a day. Just 20 minutes a day, and you will read through the New Testament in 63 days. And so I want to ask you, when is the last time you read through your Bible, the New Testament? When's the last time? It's been a while, hasn't it, for many of you? See, I still believe the Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I believe the Word of God, when it comes, will not return to a void. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, will still speak to your hearts when you get in the Word of God. And I tell you, if we'll all do this, now 20 minutes, that's it. 20 minutes of your busy lives. Can you give that to Jesus? I still hear all these excuses. Oh, I still can't do it. I'm still too busy. Think about what you're really saying. You're saying, see, 20 minutes a day is about 1% of your day. You are saying you can't give Jesus 1% of your day. That's all it is. 1% of your day. Can you give Jesus 1% of your day? I told you how this message was motivated by a conversation I had at the end of the sermon last Sabbath. This person came out to me. I had no idea this conversation, where it was going to go, and she began to open up to me. And she says, I have been in the Adventist church for 40 years. I have never read through my Bible once. And this blew me away. I've never read through one book of the Bible just systematically in my life. I've read the Bible here and there, but I've never through. She says, a few months ago, when you were encouraged as pastor to get into the Bible, I decided this time I'm going to do it. She says, I just read through the book of Matthew, the whole book, for the first time in my life. And she says, I cannot believe what this is doing to me. Just reading through the book of Matthew the first time. She is changing everything. I can handle my problems better. My emotional strength is better. My life is changing. I want to do ministry. I want to love people. I can't believe what's happening. I was so inspired by that conversation that I said, then we, what if every single person, young and old, now see, some of the young people are making excuses. Some of us are making excuses, but the Word of God, 20 minutes a day, every one of us, can we do this? Can we take this challenge? See, I believe it would change this church. The Word of God, we're in the Word of God, it's going to change everything. You know, some of you are saying, man, I've tried New Year's resolutions. I've tried this stuff before, and I always fail this stuff. I always have good intentions. You know, I'm going to go for it, and I fail every time. How many have done that? Yeah. You know, I was looking up resolutions. You know what the number one resolution is every year? Guess what it is? Lose weight, get in shape. That is the number one resolution, you know. And how many times people said, man, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to lose weight. And they go out and they buy exercise equipment and they go out and they get a club membership and they do all these things. They're going to diet and so on and so forth. You've never done this stuff? Into January, the exercise equipment is getting dust out in the garage and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Because resolutions will change. I mean, we always fail in resolutions in our own strength. But there's a way we can make this stick. And there's two things I want you to do with this challenge that I'm giving to you. First of all, I want you to commit the challenge to God. So this week, as you're thinking about the new year, we're going to start this thing next Sabbath. So I want you to be thinking about it. Thinking about next year, what you want on next year. Can you commit 20 minutes of your day for 63 days to read through the New Testament? Can you do that? So you commit it to Christ. That's how you make it work. I've noticed anything in my life, if I'm going to make it work, if it's going to last, I've got to commit it to God. Okay? It doesn't work any other way. I always fail. Number two, ask God for help. Now, some of you might be saying, man, I don't need God's help in this thing. Man, I can do that. It's only 20 minutes a day. No problem. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't like it when you get in the Word of God. And he would do everything in his power to keep you out of the Bible. Everything. He would distract you. He will feel. There'll be emergencies. He'll do everything he can to keep you so you start skipping days and pretty soon you're not doing it. You need God's strength, you need his help in your life to make it happen. And so this next week, I know if we committed to Christ, I know if we ask God for help, God will help us. And I'm going to tell you something, if every one of us spends 20 minutes a day in the Word of God, wow, it's going to be amazing. And by the way, when we get done with a 63-day challenge, then I have another challenge. Because I'll guarantee you'll be so in love with the Word of God in 63 days, you're going to want more. And you're going to see what's going to happen. And God's Spirit, it's going to be amazing what God will do if you'll take the challenge. It's just 1%, that's it. 1% of your day, that's all I'm asking. 1% that would transform your life for Him. I'm going to take the challenge. I don't know about you. With God's help, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the challenge. And by next Sabbath, I hope you're here and that you'll start this challenge with us together. Because I want this church to grow. And I want this church to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want us to fulfill the mission of Christ. And so is there room in your heart? Is there 1% of your life that you'll open up and let Jesus in? You guys notice there's the manger up here. And I told you last Sabbath about the manger. We're going to have this special offering. We're going to bring an offering to the Lord to help with our expenses. We got all kinds of ministries we're thinking about. You know, my mind's always going. How can we reach people? What can we do? We got evangelism coming. I'm thinking about our sign. I want a new sign. You're saying, oh, I like my sign. Notice we can't put anything on our sign. I thought we were supposed to be about out there, not just in here. So if you're thinking about, you know, the sign or whatever, I got all these things. And right now, the praise team is going to come forward. They're going to sing. I'm going to have them come forward here. And as they sing, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now, there's going to be deacons at the doors for those who cannot come forward. But this is an opportunity to bring our gifts. And as you're coming forward, I hope that you're not just thinking I'm bringing my financial gifts to Jesus, but you're thinking I'm bringing my life to Jesus. This is about me and you, God. And I want to just recommit myself to Christ. Maybe say, I really want to get close to Christ this next year. Whatever it is in your heart, come forward. Even if it's a dollar, if it's nothing, just come forward. Recommit your heart to Jesus Christ as we sing the song. Gifts to Jesus. There's something about that that warms our heart. And I know God is going to bless. He's going to bless His church, and He's going to bless you. Let's pray. Father, as we leave today, thank you for being here, and just grateful for your presence here today. Lord, hear the message. There's no room in the inn, but Father, may there be room in our hearts. And may this year be a different kind of year for us. May we take the challenge, Lord, and get into your word. Lord, give us strength to do that. Help us to be able to commit this to Christ. And Lord, as we do this, I know, Lord, that you are just going to radically change this church. Father, we're just open to you. And just bless us as we look forward to this new year, that we will walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.